We're going to do baptism here in a few minutes. I got a couple things I'd like to share. But if you can turn the lights up here for a second. Thank you. I want to lower your mic, I think, here for... Here. I already got a couple of towels out here, yeah. We've got two towels, but also, if we have to, we got a doggy here and show him how to shake. He'd ride off, so... Before I share anything this morning, Harold is going to be baptized today, but he wants to speak just for a couple of seconds, a couple of minutes. You want to come down, Harold?
Sorry about that.
trying to tie your boots?
Yeah.
Okay. There's a microphone if I know how to use it. FF. I think the battery died in it. Oh, there we're good.
All right.
Because some of us are hard hearing. Yeah, yeah.
All right. Yes, sir.
We are a mature congregation.
Yes, sir. So I just want to start out saying Happy Mother's Day to everybody. You guys are well appreciated very much. So I grew up a little bit kind of in and out of hospitals and jails and stuff like that. I was hard to love. My mother, she was always there for me. I always told her that she was, she taught me how to love, if anything else. And when he was reading the paper earlier, that was the one thing that I feel like I forgot on that. Because I believe that God did give us a helpmate, but it was to help us change our hard hearts.
Amen.
And show us how to love. Not just help us with work, but to change us for us and to be better people for the people that we love. And I just wanted to say thank you to God for giving me my mom. We have differences of opinions a lot, but she's always been there. I talk to her every day to make sure she knows that somebody's thinking about her. So I just want to thank you all.
Oh, no. Awesome. Oh, yeah, remember, we are a work in progress. Amen. You know? You know, I have to look at where you've been, but. I know my mother, again, like Harold was saying, you know, I don't see how she did it. She raised five of us plus three foster children. My mama could cook a rock and eat it. Really delicious. You look back, and a lot of times you took your mama for granted. I did. I mean, how embarrassing was it to go to school with a shirt your mom made for you? You know? You look back now, that was love. I mean, she wanted to do that. I mean, oh, man. It's just a lot of things we don't understand until we get older. Then my mama's been gone 32 years, and you wish you had a chance to go back and say, hey, I really appreciate that. But it was good. Yeah, she made a great blackberry cake. Anybody else have anyone to share this morning about your mama? Something that, hey, I mean, think about your mom, you think about this. There you go. There you go. What's that? Go ahead.
Even though there's in heaven, you can still talk to him.
Oh, yeah, I share your heart all the time. Yeah, it's... my mom and my daddy, I mean, it's just, their words come back into your head. You know what I'm saying? It's like the Word of God in a way. As you study the Word of God, I mean, to this day, when I put gasoline in my mower, I don't smoke a cigarette. Well, I quit smoking, but Dad always said, don't smoke around gasoline, I'll blow up. And that was 5 years old, and I already remember that. It's just, yeah, you're right. And so, as mamas, as you pour it into your children, they're going to retain. You know, they don't remember the bad stuff. No, I can't remember anything bad of my parents. You know. Yeah. I believe he did. He has a way. You know, our sister here said that she believes God gives us that to forget about the bad things. And I think, well, that's God. We can, when we repent, He chooses no longer to remember our sins. So if He doesn't remember the ought that we had against Him, He does the same for us, not to remember the ought that we have with one another. So that's very good. Great insight. Anybody else want to share something? Sorry. Penny? Would you use the microphone before we have this recorded? We're always here trying to encourage one, and some of them wasn't able to make it today. So.
My mom was kind of a stern mother, but she was the foundation for our family. But the one thing that has lasted through generations and generations, she always said, make sure you have clean underwear on. Now, I do that to my son still today, and he is 53 years old. Anytime he's going someplace, I said, do you have clean underwear on?
So, yes, he does. Oh, my. That's strange. And our mom the same way. I mean, they don't care what else happens to you, as long as you got clean underwear on in the emergency room.
Mom's proud of you. I'm scared of that
accident. I'm not going to have clean underwear on. Rita said if she's involved in a bad accident, she's not going to have clean underwear on anyway. Anybody else want to share something today? Jeff? Rita, that's funny. I'll always be in my head now.
I'd like to say Happy Mother's Day to Gail.
Yes.
She's really not a mother, but...
She is a mother.
She
yeah.
is.
Amen. Some moms...
Raising a three-year-old and me.
I know.
We've been together for 4 years. So
I know.
I'm
yeah.
still work in progress with her, so...
Yeah.
But sure appreciate it.
Yeah.
No,
sure.
Rivers
having
you
like Jeff up.
Yeah.
We're both kind of stuck in our ways.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You always keep Gail in your prayers. Yeah. Natalie, moms are ladies who influence the lives of children. Some birth them and some help raise them. And that's truly what a mom is. I saw another hand back here somewhere. Mark.
My mom always made our dinners and all this, and sometimes we take stuff like that for granted, you know.
Yeah.
And made our beds before we knew how to do that, and on Sunday. She never said to me, Mark, do you want to go to church? Do you feel like going to church? She said, there's your clothes. Be ready in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate that. She's in her 80s now, but
oh, wow.
I still appreciate it. And she'll still tell me what she thinks, believe me.
That's awesome.
She doesn't hold back on stuff like that. I appreciate that,
amen.
In her.
You know, honesty, yes.
You need a foundation to look on. I mean, God's your foundation.
Right.
But you need a stern foundation to look on and to make your life after. And she was good for that.
That's awesome. Amen. I was the same way. I always say, like John Hagee says, I had a drug problem when I was a kid. My mom drugged me to church and drugged me to Bible school. So,
yeah.
And, yeah, but you look back, that's how much they loved you, you know. Every Saturday night, our job was to polish our shoes for church on Sunday. And then my brother would polish ours, and but the trouble with it, we never knocked the dirt off of them. We had polish ones off of them. I hear my dad say, oh, Donna, at least you got them polished. Well, the dirt's going to fall off of them. Anyway, they take it as a reflection upon them because, but they understand that later on. So, anybody else back here? I thought I saw another hand. Want to share anything? Susan, want to show up?
You know, I just thought my mother taught me that if I wanted to do something really bad and I was going to be able to do it, and then something happened and I couldn't do it, she said, you weren't meant to. God saved you from an accident or something.
Right.
And I still feel that way. And sometimes... people get disgusted at me because I'll say, you weren't supposed to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just calm down. God's got you in his hands. There's some reason why you weren't supposed to do it.
We got to trust God.
And
he,
She put that in me from the time I was little. And why doesn't that girl like me? She wasn't supposed to. You know, whatever, when you're a teenager.
Yeah, because it could have led them astray, led them the wrong direction, you know, and distrust the Lord and as followers of Christ. We know nothing happens by chance with us.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to, okay, God, I don't understand this, but I'm going on with
it. She would tell us that people were like fruit.
Fruit?
Yeah, some people were bananas, some people were peaches, some people were pears, and you could be a perfectly good banana, but some people just don't like bananas.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
So I pass that on to my kids when they say, they don't like me.
I guess I'm a grapefruit, probably. Sour. Little sour, I knew that. You want to share something?
Yeah.
Okay.
My mother, she was short, but she was, I consider that she was a very good-looking woman. I believe that, you know, along with the other mothers, that I've been blessed. We had a hard time. I mean, my parents both, when we were younger, they both worked. I was the middle child. My mother had eight of us, four from her first marriage, four from the second, a boy and three girls first time, a boy and three girls the second time. And my dad was a twin, and my sisters were twins.
Mm-hmm.
But every birthday, my mother always, no matter how old I got, always sent me a birthday card. Mm-hmm. And I never forgot that till the day she passed away. I had a tough time, and me and my parents passed away 3 months apart, you know. And it took me a while as a Christian growing up, but then I always look back. And then I had Bobby when I was 42 years old, mm-hmm. and I remembered how... You know, he was my miracle baby, you know, and things are tough now with the situation I'm under, but, you know, God has given me strength.
Amen.
To still know that I can come out in the community and I'm still his mother.
Amen.
You know, no matter what anybody does and says, you know, and I'm proud of the fact that
Amen.
I am and that I'm a Christian as well, too.
Amen.
And thank you, everybody, for the support you gave Bobby in the prayers throughout the years.
Hey, he's what, 16 now?
He's 17.
17. Woo. Is he driving?
I don't know.
Okay.
Possibly, you know, the Babcock's going
to be 17. Oh, no. Yeah, never mind. Yeah. Well, I'll keep the next generation of law enforcement employed.
Well, I'm not behind the door. So.
Oh, I'll keep the another generation alive.
Alive.
No. Anybody want to share anything back here? Huh? Okay. Anybody else today?
Well, if God hadn't made the mother, we would not be here. So, you know, thank God.
Amen. Amen. Oh, I had a hand back here, somebody. Hurry up, because... I'm not going to share my offering with you if you keep preaching. Nah, just kidding, brother. You take all your time. Yeah, we are in no hurry, man. Honor our mamas.
So I was kind of thinking, I forgot to mention it, but kind of like, who just spoke up there?
Fernando,
yeah. Uh-huh. Kind of like he just said in a different term, if it wasn't for a woman... Everybody probably would have killed herself a long time ago as far as fighting wars and stuff, because they think they calmed a man down, like I said, you know, they taught us how to really truly care. So I just kind of wanted to, you know.
I do, yeah. Fine. Yeah. Amen. They're unsung heroes, mamas are, you know.
Yes, sir.
And mamas carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, but mama blamed themselves for everything that was wrong. Yeah, kind of true. Not that they're blame, but the men have the bragging rights of everything that was good. And then the mamas... I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
We make them look
better. Yeah. Oh, amen. Well, then, what I was saying then, the mamas take... their heart is different. When a child doesn't do something correctly, they take the blame. And it's probably because maybe in a lot of families, the mom is around the kids more. And sometimes mama's got to be mama's and daddy's both. You know, it can be difficult. But today, as we're going to baptize a couple youngsters. No, I'm sorry, you're not youngsters. To me, you're men. And what is amazing about this, within the past week, both of them came to me, so they weren't baptized. I mean, it wasn't, I mean, it was the Lord saying, I want something now. It's just, sometimes we go through rituals and stuff, well, now you did this, now you got to do this, and you got to do this and this. I was younger, I think we had a certain time we learned communion, and then we did confirmation. I turned 12 years old to be confirmed and stuff. And you do it, but you don't really understand it. It's kind of like my wife and we got married. Believe it or not, she married me. Well, the thing of it is, I never truly understood my wedding vows till years later. You know? I wanted my honeymoon. And you know? But it was, you know, the older you get, you look at stuff you've been through, then you look at the wedding vows, oh, my lands. That's awesome. We pledge our lives to one another. And we renewed our vows, I think, was it 30? 30, yeah. And it meant so much more, you know? And today, as we gather here, these two guys, I mean, they want more. Think of that. It's just, you look in the scriptures, you look at some of the mamas in there. I was looking at John the Baptist the other day, thinking about him. And you got John the Baptist, and you got a cousin of his, named who? Jesus. Now, if you remember in the scriptures, Mary's with child, she went to visit her Aunt Elizabeth, and they got together, and right away, John, in the womb, jumped up, and the Spirit of God touched him. Wow. So that she would become anointed with the Holy Spirit. Wow, I think, you know, I imagine, you know, bragging right, hey, what are your kid going to be? Well, I'm not really sure, you know. Back and forth, you know how like, my mom was talk about their kids and stuff, you know. And then, you know, Mary said, well, my son's going to be Son of God. You know, quickly, there could be a competition between Mary and Elizabeth. You know, Mary had this attitude, my son's more important than your son. And Elizabeth could be saying, oh man, my kid, he's not going to amount to much, you know, because of the way life could be. You know, the competition part, we're already based upon what we think someone should be. But as time went on, you think, as they grew up, they had parties probably, gatherings and stuff. This is Starkey speaking. It's not in the scriptures anyway. But how much separation would come between those two? I would say zero in life. But I'm just thinking what could have took place, the competition and comparing one another. And well, my kid got straight A's. I see Elizabeth saying, well, John got kicked out for the third time already. Okay? And then, as time went on, we catch up with John. And the scripture tells us this in Luke, I think in Matthew both, that here comes John, known as John the Baptizer. He is coming out of the wilderness. He's wearing, what was it, camel hair coat? Eating locusts and honey. I mean, can you see Elizabeth and Zacharias was her husband? I mean, they were foretold that she's going to have a child. She's going to have a kid. And God blessed her with a child. And the next thing you find out, he went out and lived in the wilderness. It remind me of Grizzly Adams. Anybody remember Grizzly? Yul Gibbons? Yeah. I mean, Yul Gibbons, I've gone back too far maybe. But I wonder in their mind, like, what did we do wrong? My land, look at Jesus. He's always clean cut. He looks pretty decent. He's got all these friends hanging around him. And then here is his cousin, John. What did we do wrong? Oh. And he comes out wearing a camel hair coat. Now they tell me there's locusts and there's locusts. There's locusts as a bug that you can dip in honey and eat it. But also there's a fruit called locust. Now I'm not sure which is which. Okay, but I'm going to say it's a locust, because in my mind, he hit biting the heads off with honey and stuff, you know. Oh. And then, man, what is going on here? But he comes out, and he starts giving this message. Repent. Forgiveness of your sins. Doing the work of God. Now, here comes Jesus. Born, what, 6 months after John was born. And what does John say? Look, the Lamb of God will take away the sins of the world. Man, the one probably that Elizabeth thinks, man, he's not quite the same scale as Jesus. What does John do? He is called to baptize Jesus Christ. How important is that? Without the baptism of Jesus Christ, we wouldn't be here. Why do you know that? Because Jesus would not went to the cross. Because he needed the baptism. He needed the Holy Spirit to have the power and the strength to do what God has called him. Oh my. So John gets to baptize Jesus. Then very shortly afterwards, we hear John make this statement. Man, people are trying to follow me instead of Jesus. He says, I must decrease. But he increases. We find John in prison. Why? Because he told the king, hey, listen, you can't be having an affair with your brother's wife. Now, the king still liked the guy. He kept him in prison alive, fed him. But his wife, well, whoever you want to call her, didn't. And we know shortly afterwards, John's head was removed. I can imagine Elizabeth, like, I said, oh, what's going on, man? God, we did what you gave us this child. Why? Why did his head be removed? He completed his mission. That's what his calling in life. Now, it might be hard for us to understand maybe where you're walking with the Lord right now, but we all have a plan and a purpose. And I truly believe we'll live out that purpose if we follow the Lord. Amen? And God sees it as coming home for your reward. You know, it'd be like working all day in a factory. You come home and there you got your dinner made for you. You're soaking your feet like, wow. Oh, I'm glad I made it home. Well, I believe that's what John. So now he baptized Jesus. He's in heaven and Jesus is doing these miracles. His cousin is. But even Jesus himself gets to the point, oh, Father, let this cup pass from me. Remember? He's going to go to the cross. But he said, not your will, but my will be done. Oh, wow. But during the same time, he had this fellow named Peter. Remember Peter the fisherman? Remember Peter, hey, man, he jumped out of the boat, I'll follow you. Wow. The one that saw all this, all the miracles and stuff. We find him, when Jesus was arrested, what happens? He denies him. He denied Jesus Christ. 3 times he did, and he walked with the master for 3 years. He saw all this stuff. If you think somebody wasn't going to deny him, it'd be Peter. I mean, can you imagine? He gave up, got out of his father's fishing business and took on this job as an apostle. You think, wow, man, I could hear the mother think, well, geezy, Pete. Gave up the family business. Started following Jesus. Now he denied him. What's going to happen to him now? Again, this is Storky Ablum, okay? What did Jesus do? He reinstalled 3 different times. And you might be sitting here today, I'm not sure where your children are at, but maybe you raised them in church and you spoke into their spirit and man, and now here they are, they're denying Jesus in their life. Well, listen, don't lose heart. Don't lose heart. Because he is a forgiving God. And he has a plan and purpose for that child. Every person has a plan and purpose. And just because they're not lining up the way we want them right now, doesn't mean God forgot about them. Your prayers are very powerful. Many of us here today could testify you started walking with the Lord and you fell away. And you got back with him, right? And that little part where you fell away, God uses that to reach other people. God takes the bad things and turn around for good. You know, we got to recognize that none of us here are perfect. That's the main thing we got to remember. That we're not perfect. But God has a plan and purpose for each one of us. That's why we're here to encourage one another. That's why we're here when you fall down to help somebody get back up. Don't kick them. Oh, I tell you what, sometimes the worst people kicking Christians are other Christians. And then I would say, well, I would challenge whether they were a Christian. You know, again, I don't like the word Christian. I love the word followers of Jesus. We were called Christians because they made fun of us back in Antioch a couple thousand years ago. The followers of Christ. You think about Christ, you think of somebody perfect, right? You think about a follower of Christ, not quite as high on the, you know what I'm saying? You can find out that we're not perfect people. But we love Christ. That's the main thing. But Jesus did nothing in the line of miracles or until he was baptized. Think of that. When John baptized the Master, it says the Holy Spirit sent to him like a dove and landed on him. Empowered him to go to the cross. And I don't say funny thing, but what happens if Elizabeth was complaining about here comes our son out of the wilderness? What did Jesus do after John baptized him? He walked into the wilderness. There's something about being alone with God that's going to strengthen you. Oh, my land. Now, he didn't stay in the wilderness. He was there 40 days. And what happened? At the end of the 40, the tempter came. But the Holy Spirit had empowered the Master. And what did Jesus do? He spoke the word. It is written. It is written. It is written. And folks, that's the same thing with us. We get attacked. It is written. How can we know what is written? We read the word, or we hear the word, right? Amen. And today, these two men, your life ain't going to be the same anymore. In fact, can I have you two guys come here and sit so I can talk to you face on? Just for a moment, please. Have a chair there. And then when I do the baptism, anyone here wants to take pictures, you're welcome to go ahead, brother. You're welcome to take pictures. We'll have pictures taken, and next week we'll get a diploma and stuff. You're a lot like me in a way. And I say this because you gave your life to Christ. You called out to the Lord and he came into your life. Now here, a little while later, you're going to be baptized. You're being baptized today because you want to. Because you need Christ. And you need the Holy Spirit. See, when you cried out to the Lord, whatever brought you to him, say, God, I can't do it anymore on my own. Christ come into my life. The Spirit of the living God came back inside of you. The same Spirit that God breathed into Adam that left when he sinned came back. Jesus says, Nicodemus says, how do I get to heaven? How do you get born again? Jesus said, you'll be born, first of all, the water. You'll be birthed on the earth. Then born of the Spirit. So now that same Spirit's back in you. Somewhere along the line, the Word of God touched you. Did the anointing upon the Word? We would say after your first baptism, when the Word came over you or whatever it was, it moved like, man, I need help. Cry out, now Christ came into your life. And some folks will say, well, listen, you don't have to be baptized to be a Christian. No, if you're going to give your life to Christ today and be dead tonight, you don't need to. But if you're going to follow the Master, you need it. You got to have that power. Listen, today, when you go in this water and you come out, you're not going to be the same. Understand that. The Holy Spirit is going to draw off your body. He's going to strengthen you. Think of it. The Bible calls him the Helper. Jesus, I'm going to send you another, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to come and dwell in you, to be your Helper. He's not going to take over your life. He's going to help you. Whatever is put upon your heart to do, will give you strength. He says, he'll be the comforter. Oh my. He said, I'll bring back to you everything. He'll bring back to you everything that Jesus taught you. Well, the Master's not walking on the earth today, but his word's still here. So when you read a scripture, when you say, and you walk away, well, I can't remember that. Hey, listen, you put it up here. The Holy Spirit is designed to bring that back to you because you speak the word. That's your power. Think of that. Power of the word. Amen. Yeah, there's no power in complaining. Now, it feels good sometimes to get off your chest, okay? But when you're really in a battle, speaking the word of God, it makes the difference in our life. Now, it was 2 years in my walk with the Lord before I got baptized. Because I thought, well, you know, I shared before I was sprinkled. As an 8-month-old, 8-day-old baby or something like that. But you can't baptize a baby because you have to know what you're doing. You have to say, I've sinned and I need you, Lord. You've got to be age accountability, 8 years on maybe. And I thought for 2 years. My main reason, because I was embarrassed. How can I, 43 years old, be baptized? Okay? And the preacher man never told me I had to be. Suggested it. If he would have told me, well, you got to get baptized, it wouldn't have the same effect. Because I wouldn't have the desire to receive, you know? I mean, anybody here today is not born again. If I put you in the water, you'll come out wet. And that's it. Because the heart hasn't changed yet. Remember the master, when he came right before he ascended to heaven? He got his disciples together, and he breathed on them? He breathed that spirit back into them. Wow. And to me, I put it this way. He gives a target for the Holy Spirit when he descends to go. Because remember what they did then? You find 120 of them gathered up in the upper room, all in one accord. And when the Holy Spirit ascended, boom, it turned that place upside down. And this world has not been the same since. But it all took the Holy Spirit to do that. Each one of us sitting here today, I want to encourage you to check out yourself. Where are you at? Have you been baptized? Truly know what you're doing to be baptized. And think inside of you. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, lives in you. There's nothing that's impossible for God. And He lives inside of you. That's powerful. And the Holy Spirit is a spirit. It has to dwell in a body to operate. Why? Because God gave dominion to flesh and blood. That's how important you are in the eyes of God. Not just as a child, but to work in this world, He works through us. And He trusts you guys. Think of that. First thing He's going to do, this Holy Spirit is going to help strengthen you. It's going to discipline you. It's going to help you overcome the temptations. We all fight temptations, do we not? We can't have a better fighter than God Himself. The one who died on the cross to deliver from our sins. To give us that strength to overcome it. Speak that way. He's going to straighten all. What are your plans for you? I don't know. Number one plan is fellowship with God. We know that. That's no. He will hang out. He wants to talk to you. Talk about your bad days, good days. I talk to God like I would my earthly father. I mean, I'll sit on my deck and talk to God. You know, coming down here, well, God. Sometimes they've got to blow it again. Or it's like, okay, God, how can I help? What do you want me to do? And He'll speak to me. You know? Not verbally, but His Word will speak to me. His Spirit will. The Holy Spirit. We sometimes say, oh, Lord, send the Holy Spirit over here. He can't get there unless He's coming with us. Amen? Remember that. Oh, Lord, I wish, boy, You'd send somebody. Oh. I can't send the Holy Spirit. Oh, Lord, I just pray today that You would send workers across their path. That's biblical, right? And so what's going to happen? We get involved. God cannot mess anything up on this earth, and put it that way, unless He works through us, because He won't go back on His word. You know, Charles Capps has it this way. He talks about farmland that he had. He had land one time, and he quit farming. Full-time preacher, and he leased it out to his neighbor for 5 years. He says, now, I leased it out to him. It's still my property, but I leased it out to him. I cannot go and tell them they plant soybeans today or bananas today. You mentioned bananas, didn't you? It's in my head now. Okay. Why? Because it was his property, but he did not control it anymore for 5 years. Same way with this earth. There's at least mankind. We saw that when He created the earth. 6,000 years of the earth lease. And until that time is period up, even though Adam surrendered it back, he surrendered it to Satan, Christ bought it back for us. And so we have dominion over this world. All this works through the Holy Spirit. It is a person. We are a spirit and soul inside of a body. You know, you look at me, you hear my soul, that's my personality. And my spirit is governed by the Spirit of God. Someday my body stops, but this spirit of mine, my soul will live for eternity. I mean, praise God, because of Jesus, it'll be with the Master forever and ever. But how powerful are you going to be? Think of that. What's been, don't answer, but what's been tormenting? What type of demonic force has been trying to drag you down, or what demons have been fighting, you know? Anybody, it could be alcoholism, it could be drugs, it could be anything in your life. You've been fighting yourself. You keep hearing these stupid voices in your head saying you're no good, you're worthless, you never amount to nothing, nobody loves you, you're terrible. That is a demonic voice coming against you. You say, in the name of Jesus, I've been born again, I'm a child of God. I'm a head, not a tail. Wow. And you'll just praise right there in the middle of your storm. This is awesome. This is nothing taken lightly today. I'm so proud of you. You know, God saw this coming. He said, all right, I got two more men coming up in my army. Never, ever going to be the same. This is amazing. The Master, crucified, buried, rose up from the grave 3 days later. And the scripture tells us this. In the book of Acts, it says, now repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus, and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Book of John, I believe, Jesus says in the Great Commission, go and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And there's been arguments. No, wait, he said Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Acts says Jesus. The reason why? The Christians they were encountering then, we would call them God's children, they already believed in God. It's Jesus they hadn't received yet. They said, listen, be baptized in the name of Jesus. I recognize him as the Son of God. And you're going to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. Because they never heard about the Holy Spirit yet. So if you ever wonder what the difference was, that's what it was. So today is baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. To be empowered by the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit, the Bible says, that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is coming to dwell in you. And give you power, man. That's fantastic. Anything you want to add back there? I'm saying, because sometimes I get the more things that get added and stuff. But I just know the day I went under and I came up, I've never been the same. And you won't be the same way. You won't be the same. And what rejoicing is going on now? I mean, can you imagine? It's taking place in heaven. It's not just a routine that we do. Check off her box, man. God is going to anoint you, strengthen you, and give you some tremendous power. Amen.